Jermaine Fowler, everyone.
Hey.
Round of applause. I'm sorry. Okay, so. Kevin, you're from Florida.
Yeah. And I started in college, man, like freshman year of college, but I just kind of haphazardly did it for a while. But the way that I started was just basically because there was a dude coming to our school, and he was like really well known in colleges just from like self-promotion. And we had never watched his stand-up before. We saw he was coming. We're like, oh, let's check out his stand-up on his website. We went to his website, and we're like, yo, this dude just sucks. He's fucking terrible. He's getting all his money. We can get this money. So I have no noble cause for doing comedy. I was just like, this guy's getting money, and he's terrible. I'm going to get this money. And I started like that week.
And did you keep going to college? Or?
Yeah, and I finished.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to college and shit. 5 years. Was crushing it.
You stayed back?
I just switched majors a bunch of times.
Damn, man.
What'd you end up graduating with?
Graduated with exercise physiology. I was going to do physical therapy like Chris.
Yeah.
But I just didn't go to physical therapy school.
Oh, the irony, Kevin. Your knees, man.
Well, that's why I did it, man. I kept getting hurt so much. I was constantly hurt.
You just wanted to help yourself?
Like, yeah, I was like, I need to figure out how to fix this, man.
That's fucking great. That's what ninjas do. You just what ninjas do.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
You go to school pick to help
yourself. Pick a career
themselves.
Just based on your injuries.
It's like the movie Wanted.
I played a lot of Tenchu, man. Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, man. They went to school for that.
Yeah.
I think every ninja went to FSU.
Where'd you start out?
Maryland. In 12th grade.
You started out in high school doing stand-up?
I did one show in high school. I did a talent show. Well, that counts. That was the first show I ever did. It was a talent show.
Do you remember any of your first jokes?
Some of my first jokes were like just about like cartoons I would watch and commercials. Like I had a joke about gushers.
Yeah.
And how like when kids in the commercials ate gushers, like they would their heads would turn into like watermelons and oranges and stuff. And I was like, if that were real, people would die and like be like vegetables and stuff. You know what I mean? So yeah, that was one of the first jokes I ever. It was terrible.
Did it really take down the house?
It actually would kill all the time. I used to do shows in front of like all hipster kids and stuff at like these coffee shops, and they loved those jokes. And then I tried to do them at clubs, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? They ain't laughing at this shit, man.
That's the thing. So you were like, because I was kind of like that too, where you started out, and it was just like every time you went up, you just crushing. You're like, man, I'm the fucking
actually,
I'm a legend.
The first 6 months, I was bad, but I was only good at this one coffee shop. Just one coffee shop I was good at.
This shit went hilarious. Because, like, with me, it was, like, the first, like, however long it was. Like, every time I went up, it was just great. And I was like, this is dope. But I was afraid to tell any of my friends to ever come watch me. Because I'm like, what if I do bad one time? I never told them to come watch me. And then finally, I built up some confidence. I told my friends to come watch me this show. And I didn't know it was, like, an Apollo show.
Yeah.
And all my friends came, and I got booed off stage in front of my friends.
It was a college Apollo show.
Yeah.
Were you nervous? Damn.
I wasn't nervous. I thought I was gonna crush it too, and it was so. The host was like, I was the first thing going up, and he's like, all right, guys, remember, this is an Apollo show tonight. So if you don't like what they talk about, you could boo them, man. Remember that. You can boo them.
Remember that. On a reiterate, you know, you can kill the dreams.
I get booed off a minute in, and then it was like no one else got booed off the whole show. And then the host was like, because I was like inexperienced. I didn't know nothing. He's just back there like, man, I feel like that was unfair, man. He comes backstage like, that was unfair, man. I feel like I told him they could boo right before you went on stage. Then you went on stage, they booed you, man. That's not right. If you want to go on stage again, I'll let you do it, man. If you want to go on stage again, man, you can go up there and redeem yourself. I was like, all right, man, yeah, that sounds good. Then I went on stage and got booed off stage again.
What was the jokes about?
I don't even remember, man. I was just...
They saw you come back and they're like, boo. Did they even let you start?
No, they let me get like two. They gave me a chance, but they didn't like what
Dave lasted you, man. They Dave lasted you.
I was hiding from, it was like the whole black population of the school too. And so like every time I'd be like anywhere, I'd be like in the library or something. I see these niggas looking at me just laughing. And then someone come up like, hey man, you a comedian, man? I'd be like, nah, man, that's a dude that looks like me.
You the boo nigga. You that boo nigga, nigga. That's the boo nigga, y'all. That's the boo nigga. Yo, I'm a first time. This is the day I was going to quit comedy. I was in, I think I was 5 months in, and I couldn't, like I said, I could only get good jokes at this coffee shop on Thursdays. But every other week, every other day of the week, I was bombing everywhere. So one night, the day I was quitting, I was like, all right, cool, man. This don't work out. I'm just going to have to go back to college, man. Community college. And then I did a show at Firehouse Grill in Virginia. And this guy named Ian Salmon was hosting. And I went on stage and ate the biggest dick of all time. no laughs, just all staring, talking. And you can just see that I was upset. I was like, man. So like, I get off stage, and the host gets on stage after me and goes, hey, you know, give it up for Jermaine, man, you know, because, you know, just want to let y'all know, man, this comedy shit ain't easy. It ain't easy, man. And you start singing, this comedy shit ain't easy. This comedy shit ain't easy. It's, and then dancing, the crowd's dancing and laughing, and I'm like, and I was sitting in the front row because that's where I was seated. I was like, so it was, and so that night, I called two of my friends, other comedians, this guy named Keith and a dude named Samson. I was like, hey, y'all, look, man, I'm just done. I'm finishing comedy today, man. I had a bad night, man. It was like, because you had a bad night? You going crazy? Like, no, I've been having a bad 5 months, man. This is not going good. And they were like, why? I was like, because Ian's show was bad. He was like, man, fuck Ian. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, it's all good, man. I'm just going to quit. He goes, man, you're just try out. You're good, man. Just try it out longer. It'll take that. Nobody is funny that quick. I was like, all right, cool. So then the next month, I wrote this joke about homeless people. And it would just destroy. It was like a three-parter, and it was like a minute-long joke, and it would just kept killing. I was like, I think I got it, man. So I just started. I knew homeless jokes is all I had, so I would just do homeless jokes for like myself, all my homeless people, because it was the only joke that would work. So I knew my shtick was to make fun of homeless people. I was desperate. So yeah, that was the day I was gonna quit, and I was like, after the six months, I was like, I think I got it. I think I know how to write for homeless people or something. So I was pretty good after that.
Oh man, that's like, how do you? I mean, what would you give advice? Would you give? Because I know like a lot of the kids who listen to this are thinking about doing something in entertainment or just pursuing something out of the ordinary. Like, how do you overcome shit like that?
Good friends.
Yeah, man.
I'd say it's good friends. Some people don't have friends.
Well, that's my friends just shat on me constantly.
They did? Damn.
I just kept doing it for some reason.
What? Damn. Damn. We just kept doing it?
I was being attacked by the whole school constantly.
You know? My ex-girlfriend's mom told me to stop at the time. So I didn't stop. I don't know. I never like listening to people in the first place. So if somebody tell me I can't do something, I'll fucking do it. So that's why I kept doing it, because people told me not to do it. Like, I remember one time I went back home to Maryland to visit family from New York, and my aunt caught me coming out of a library because I didn't have a computer at the time. So
yeah,
just went to the library. It's when I was real broke. This is like 2008 when I first moved to New York. Visited Maryland, go to the library, get out of the library. Fan to my aunt. I said, hey, aunt, how you doing? She goes, hey, Jermaine, what you doing? I'm like, just at the library doing some research. She goes, oh, cool. You in New York, right? I was like, yeah. She goes, you still a clown? And I'm like, what? You moved to New York to be a clown, right? I was like, well, I'm a comedian. It's different. She goes, nah, it's not. And I was like, yeah, I'm there doing that. She goes, you should go back to college. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll think about it. She goes, no, do it. I'm like, I have a good one, man. I just left. It was the meanest thing anyone's ever told me, man. Yeah. I was like, man, this got to work out because, you know, people just.
That's the thing. It's like there's that side of it where it's just like, I think it was mostly like, I just got to prove these people wrong.
Yeah, exactly it.
Because everybody was against me, man. I remember this one chick, and I was like real good friends with this girl from like high school. And then she was like, we were in college together. And at one point, she, like, found out I was doing comedy. And she's like, you're doing stand-up? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, but you're not funny. It was just, like, shit like that. And people like that. And I had my mom constantly attacking me. She still attacks me.
Your mom sucks sometimes,
and
man.
It was just, like, the whole thing was just, like, I got to.
Were you not, like, a funny kid?
I was quiet.
Yeah.
It depended on who you talked to. Like, there's some people who you would talk to, and they'd be like, Kevin's one of just, because I was just weird. I would just say weird things all the time. Like, Kevin's like one of the funniest, weirdest dudes I've ever met. Other people would just be like, Kevin's just this quiet, monotone dude.
Yeah.
He's boring. Depending on who
not
you
like
talk to.
Not like the class clown who's like,
yeah, like I would
shit,
just
yeah.
sit there and just like, I mean, I was cool with everybody. It wasn't like I was a fucking nerd or something, but I just, I lived far as shit from school. It was an art school. And so everybody commuted there. And so I just never did. I didn't go out or nothing like that. I lived like 45 minutes from the school and like sometimes like an hour and 20 minutes from just my friends. And I didn't even have a car or a license till I was 18. So I didn't hang out with people really other than the cafeteria. And Yeah, I would just do the jump over trash cans and shit sometimes. That was my pastime, me and my friends. So we did jump over trash cans constantly. I don't know why.
I was quiet around my family because they just made fun of me.
How big was your family?
I was four kids, my mom and dad. I was quiet around them, and then when like my friends came around, I was real loud and stuff, and they were like, my sister and my brother, he said, "You two-faced." I'm like, "What do you mean?" Because you always cried around us, but you around your friends, you always loud and funny and stuff. Y'all call me white boy all the time. That's what they would do. They just call me white boy and shit. And I hate hanging around them
because they would call you white boy because you were quiet.
No, they call me white boy because I used to skateboard and like listen to rock and roll and stuff. So, I hated that home shit. Yeah, because at home they would just make fun of me, but like you know around my friends they accepted me, so I always was cool around them. So they were just mad all the time, like, "You always acting different around us." And so I remember my grandma got me a video camera, and I would just do sketches on it and shit. And like, cause this is before Chappelle Show came out, I would just do sketches with the camera. I did like making a band video before Chappelle Show came out. I was like, "Oh, yo, they got making a band, yo. They doing what we do. That's fucking great." This is before YouTube came out, so we would just have video camera. We just have tapes of sketches. We lost all of them. That sucks. But I just do sketches with my friends all the time and my brothers and shit. And that was cool. And then I got into stand-up in 12th grade because right that year I found out I wasn't going to college because we had no money.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a real college. So I was like, I got to do something. I didn't want
to. So it took you, they waited until 12th grade to tell you that you weren't going to go?
No, I waited. Like, I told myself that. I was like, I knew I wasn't going. Like, I had the grades for college. It was just the money. Like, my mom left when I was, like, 16, so, like, money was tight. And what happened? I was filling out this. I got to the guidance counselor. She gave me an essay to fill out for colleges and shit. I think it was Hampton University.
Okay.
I was going to apply to Virginia, and filling out the application. And I'm just sitting there in my room, just staring at it, like, "What, like, you know, the essays and shit? What you gotta write? What would you do if you were president? Like that." So I'm about to write this essay. I'm just staring at it, like, "What's the point? I'm not gonna go to college." I'm just staring at it. And my dad comes in my room. He goes, "What's wrong, man?" I'm like, I started crying. And I was like, "What you crying for, man? Like, what's the point?" And then he started crying because he knew I wasn't going to college. And he had the money. So he was just sitting there crying over his college essay. It was probably the funniest realization. Like, he's like, "Damn, man," because I know he waited like till I was in 12th grade to tell me you can't go, we don't have the money. And I just knew, he just didn't tell me. I wish he told me earlier. I would have just, why the fuck go to high school for 4 years if I ain't gonna go to college? Just, you know. So I was just upset. So the rest of 12th grade, I just started skipping school and doing sketches and writing jokes because I knew that's what I really wanted to do.
Sounds like a good bonding moment with
him. It was the only time I bonded with him since my mom left, man. Just crying over a college essay. It was fucking great.
I never seen my dad cry, man.
Really?
Never.
The man helps out a lot. It dehumanizes him.
Yeah.
I no, it humanizes him, sorry. Because before, you think your dad's a superhero. Yeah. And now you're just
there,
like,
"There he is.
What up, Ryan? We're talking about our dad's crying."
You ever see your dad cry?
No.
My dad cried all the time. Yeah, he was very emotional. Recently? Nah. When I was growing up, he was going through a lot of stuff. And he cried once a week. One time, we just got so used to him crying. Because, like, when he would, he was very religious. We would, like, we used to always do prayer circles and stuff when we were growing up. We were, very, like, you know, Christian family. So we do prayer circles. And every day he'd pray about, like, God, make, you know, just I pray that their mom comes back, helps raise them and stuff. Just like you pray, you know what I mean? You know, just make sure she gets a level head, come back home, because she left when I was 16. So you pray that every week. Every week you pray that. Every day, every night, just pray that. And one time, then he started crying. And then one night, he did it, and he was praying. He goes, "Hey, God," I just started laughing. I just started laughing. Because I knew he was
crying.
No, I just knew he was going to cry. He said, "God." I was like, I started laughing. And he started laughing. And then my brothers and sisters started laughing because he was like, "Why y'all laughing?" He was like, "You're going to cry, man." That's why we laughing. It was so funny because everything was so routine in the house about prayer. And I was like, "Man, this is..."
That's hilarious, man.
It was great. So,
what do you do when your dad cries? I guess my dad did cry at my brother's wedding.
That's good.
My brother's wedding?
I think so.
The only time I saw my dad cry was... he worked for the bank for 25 years, and then he got laid off. I didn't even see him cry. I just heard him cry in the other room.
I think your dad was in a was he in like a 19? Was he in a Wonderful Life? Not the Wonderful Life storyline.
It does sound like that, right? The bells started to ring. He was such a guy's guy. Like losing his job was just like the worst thing.
How many kids did he have, or brothers and sisters you have?
Three. Oh, I had two brothers, so it was three of us. But my mom, it wasn't like we were gonna
live
on the street or anything. I think it was just more of like his masculinity was suddenly taken away from him because like.
Did your mom work too? Or?
Yeah, she was a home economics teacher.
Yeah, she ain't making no money.
Yes, she didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah, that's probably why he was crying. Like, yeah, got no we money, fuck, man.
It sucks to see your mom cry. That's the worst.
Your mom crying is the worst.
Yeah.
Dad is like, he can get over
it. I'll just run away if I see my dad cry.
Yeah.
I never saw. My dad was like, no emotion ever, man. Just completely like mathematical almost. Like, I've seen him, like, he'd have like close friends of his die. He just goes, gets up, and go plant some corn. He didn't do shit. He didn't care about anything.
The fuck is that?
He just never showed any emotion at all.
I'd rather see my dad cry than plant corn.
That's even creepier. It's like all these Jamaicans just always like plant stuff. Every time I go down to Florida, my aunt's here, like, force me to put a bunch of fruit in my suitcase to go home and bring to my dad. It's just like, it's a constant fairy. Of fruit and vegetables time I go to Florida.
Hey, Mr. Barnett, Frank died. Oh well, man. Just start planting corn. Well, that's creepy.
Time to plant the corn.
Plant the corn. This is time to plant the corn.
I never seen him show any emotion. The closest I seen him to showing emotion was one time. I remember we got like a bunny. Like, we just got this little bunny. And my dad's like just like the manliest dude. He's like, don't bring that around me. I don't want to see that around me. I don't want no bunny near me. And he started talking about he doesn't like cute animals or whatever. And then one time we were gone all day, and he had this whole thing about he never even went in the same room as the rabbit. And, and we were all gone. We were supposed to be gone all day. And then We came back early. We walked in the house. And he's just holding the rabbit, just loving it. Just holding it.
Hey, it's so soft, man. He loves corn.
One tear.
So
fall down. And hit
he's
the
a, what we just? Yeah, I just came in the house. He just threw the bunny. Like, oh, what the fuck? I didn't see that. I didn't see no bunny. My dad loved exotic animals. First animal we had was a pit bull. I forgot the name of her. And he bought it from a friend. The pit bull used to fight people. Other pit bulls, I'm sorry. It used to be ex-fighting pit bulls. My dad bought it from a friend for cheap. It loved us. It was great. It never attacked us or anything, right? Never really did. And then one day the pit bull attacked the landlord. Just bit his hand, just mauled his hand up. And we got evicted because my dad just can't. You know, it was one of the nicest suburban places we ever lived. And then we just got kicked out of it because my dad doesn't want to, you know. He wants to be hood still or whatever. And then he bought.
Keep it real.
You know what I mean? He's like, I'm in the suburbs, but, you know, I ain't going to take it out of me, man. You ain't going to make me white. And so what happened? He bought he loved piranhas and sharks. He sometimes would keep it in his tank all like together and shit.
He had piranhas and sharks
in the same tank. And it was like he was Scarface or some shit. Yeah. So he would just like had these piranhas, and it's just joy in life was coming home from work, long day at work, and just feed these sharks and piranhas live goldfish and shit, and just watch them eat. Like, yeah, nigga, come on, yeah, come on, yeah, nigga, yeah, nigga, eat, nigga, come on, nigga, and just do that all day. And we just hear it from my room, like, dad's home. And so one night, me and my friends Travis and Joe and Jamal, I think Jerome, we were going to head out to go to this party, and we were heading out, and I was like, oh, wait, hold on, y'all. Let me feed the fish real quick. So I just fed the fish, and they ate the food, and we're heading out. And my dad's like, where y'all going? So going to the party real quick. All right, cool, man. Y'all be good, all right? And my dad fed the fish, and he goes, wait, who the? They ain't eating. Who fed the fish? And I was like, he said, who fed the fish, man? Who fed the fish? And I was like, I fed the fish. You fed the fucking fish? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, did I tell you to do that? To feed the fish? And I was like, you didn't? No, I just thought they were hungry. I thought you were asleep. I thought I just feed the fish. Go to your fucking room, man. I was like, I'm sorry. And I took his only joy in life. I was feeding him life. He's a lunatic. He's a crazy person. Just love. He's like a Bond villain. You just need to watch the sharks eat or some
that's
shit.
Hilarious. Petting his pit bull.
Yeah, man, it's Pitbull. He was very maniacal, man. Like, he just had a plot. He always had a plot.
It balanced out his crying, though.
It did. Yeah. It just had evil tendencies, man.
I never knew what was going on in my dad's head at all, man. Like, I don't even know what he enjoyed other than just, like, planting corn. He would never show sadness or excitement. Like, I'd be like, man, like, whatever happened, like, when I got into college and everything, it wasn't like he was excited or nothing. I'm like, yo, Dad, I got into college, man. I got an FSU, man. That was like where I wanted to go, number one. And his only response was, cool. And they left and went to go plant some corn.
Every How single much corn time. Did this guy have?
He just constantly planting corn.
You should just walk up to him next time you see him, be like, Dad, can I talk about something serious? Just wait for him to freeze.
I'm pretty sure your dad says he's going to plant the corn. He went to go cry in the backyard. Because he knew no one wanted to plant corn with him. He's like, I'm going to plant corn. I ain't doing that shit. All right, cool. I'm going to go cry in the back because y'all ain't coming to go catch that corn. I'm pretty sure he went to go cry in the tent somewhere. Oh, my boy is fucking great. He's so smart. FSU. Oh, that's good, man.
He was probably just like emotional, but just like he just buries it inside him until it's going to destroy him. Because like, he used to like cut off friends for no reason. Like, we used to call him Michael Burn Bridges Barnett. Because he would just like, people would do the smallest thing and he would just take him out of their life forever. Like, he just be like, I was in Virginia, and I called Monty, and he didn't answer, and he called me back a couple hours later, but fuck him. So, never talked to him again.
That's fucking funny.
That seems like something more that women do than guys.
Yeah, he's just so quick to cut people off.
My girlfriend's always like, oh, I'm not... Stop being friends with her. I'm never friends with her again. And then she means it, like,
yeah. For years.
For my guy friends, like, we just kind of drift apart. There's never like a cutting people off.
That's weird.
Constantly.
Dude, he's friends like, have a big reason.
Yeah,
that's not a big
reason. Stupidest thing. He was like somebody like my brother or something. Like his car had like broken down or something like that. And then and one of my dad's friends is like hours away, and he's like helping his daughter move. And he calls him, and he's like, "Yo, you think you can help my?" He's like an hour away. "Can you help my son? His car just broke down somewhere." He's like, "Oh man, I'm helping my daughter move right now, man. We got the van with these guys, and they're working and everything. I can't do it." Dad's like, "All right, done with the dude forever."
Did you ever see any corn grow?
There's some corn grew, man.
You sure?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure maybe he wasn't playing corn if he just...
He watered it with his tears.
Yeah. It's funny, man. That's
fucking so, funny. What does that come from? Was your dad Jamaican?
Or background? He's Jamaican. And it's like, that's a weird, like, I feel like I didn't know my dad or my mom's name till I was like 12. I remember when, like, you know, in school you have to put down, like, the name of your parent or whatever. They just, like... They don't tell you that. They're just like parents. It's just like they straight up like they don't even have conversations with you at the time. It's just like you are mom, you are dad. You're not going to know their name until you absolutely have to. And anytime we were going anywhere, they wouldn't tell us. Like we'd be sitting there playing video games, like get in the car. I'm like, oh, where are we going? They're like, just get in the car. Like, where? It's like, it don't matter. Get in the car. And it could be like a 5-minute trip just to the grocery store. Sometimes we get in the car and just drive for 3 hours to some place and the whole day is gone. That's just how they are. They're just distant.
Is that a Jamaican thing or that was just your parents' thing?
As far as, like, there's a lot of the Jamaicans I knew were like that. I don't know if they all like that, but like,
yeah,
there's a bunch of people that I knew that I was around that their parents were all the same. You never knew your parents' names. And just distant.
Like, I'd rather it be like, well, I don't know, that extreme, but I'm always baffled by like my friends that are buddies with their parents. Like, oh yeah, smoke weed with my mom and dad. It's fucking great. And they're like calling them by their first name.
That's dumb.
Just mind boggling me. I was raised super strict too.
Yeah.
We jokingly call my mom's name is, her name is Alice. Her middle name is Marchette, but she hated both those names. So we just called her Marsha. So we just yell, you always yell Marsha, because jokingly, Marsha, where you at? She just loved it. She just like been called Marsha for some reason. And my dad didn't play that. He's daddy. You always call him daddy or pop or something like that. Marsha was the funniest one. I don't know. I guess she had this when she was a young age, so she wanted to be called mom, I guess, right? I don't know.
She's like, it makes me feel old.
Right? Yeah. She looks like she's still like 24 or some shit. So she likes Marsha.
Wait, so she didn't like to be called mom? Is
it? I mean, she didn't mind being called mom, but she didn't mind being called Marsha either. Mm. I think she liked Marsha more. Marchette.
Yeah.
Marchette. That's not a. I never heard of a Marchette.
I think it's just like with the Jamaican. I think it's just like they just live by like old school rules. Like that's just like a thing where it's just like it's a respect thing. I think. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't know their name just because you had no business knowing it as a kid. That's what. I think it's just an old school thing.
I feel weird not knowing my parents' name for that long. I had to get like what was it? Cause my dad's name is Jerome. His dad's name was Jerome. My brother's name is Jerome, and our middle names are like these. I don't know. I don't know. It's a black thing. Like they named us like Octavius, D'Angelo, and Bernard are our middle names and shit. Like these European, these European middle names and shit. I don't know why they named us that.
Like multiple middle names.
Oh no! Just, Jamal is Jamal D'Angelo, oh, yeah. Jerome Bernard, and Jermaine Octavius. My little sister's name is Yashika Iman, like the most African Japanese name. Yeah, black shit. And I don't even know because Yashika sounds Japanese. I think that's Japanese. Yashika? That's all Japanese Yashika? Characters. Yeah, those are all Japanese.
I already know about that, man.
It's not African.
It sounds black as shit.
Yashika?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look it up because I never heard of a Yashika. I have a Toshika. That's my aunt's name, Toshika. But that's Yashika. That sounds
black as shit.
Yashika sounds Toshika Japanese.
Sounds
Japanese?
Asian. Yeah.
Well, if you say it like that, if you say Toshika.
Toshika. Yashika. I guess Yashika still sounds a little black.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck's up with our names at all. Because I thought, I asked my dad what the name Octavius. Because I looked up Octavius like an emperor from Rome.
That sounds was like a gladiator name.
It sounds like an awesome gladiator. I'm thinking, oh shit, my dad's smart. He knows history, you know? So I was like, hey, dad, where Octavius come from? I asked him. He was like, shit, I don't know, man.
I knew this pit bull named Octavius.
Yeah. That was the name of this pit bull we used to fight. That's funny. I have no idea where our names came from, but they sound fucking great, like fucking Olympic names and shit.
Yeah, that's...
Mm-mm.
Do you guys ever catch yourselves doing something? You're like, oh, that's my dad. Or like a mannerism or just like...
Turning off the lights in the middle of the night. Like, I go in the living room and my roommates leave the lights on all the time. I'm like, come on, what the fuck? Just turn the lights off. And sometimes I eat... Because our family, we never ate together in the dining room like a normal family would and talk about our day.
Yeah.
Because my dad broke all the chairs at the dinner table out of anger. So we only had two chairs at the dinner table. So it was like that and milk crates. So we had two chairs and milk crates to sit on and shit. Ooh. And they were uncomfortable, so we were just like, we're just eating in the room. So we just eat in our room and watch TV and just laugh out loud in our rooms and shit. So now I have a girlfriend lives with me, and I'm eating in my room. She goes, why don't you eat in the diner? Let's talk. I'm like, I don't fucking do that. You just eat in my bed. Just eat in my bed and watch TV.
It seems normal to you.
Yeah. But she's not, no one's used to that. So they're like, yo, are you mad at me? I'm like, no, I just I eat like a prisoner. Like, I eat in my room.
As you break a chair. Like, no.
Ending this now.
I'm eating in my room. Watch Predator. Shut up. That's what my dad would do. So I just realized I'm turning to my father. He broke everything in the house. Like, I remember one time we couldn't walk around barefoot in the house because it'd be like shards of glass everywhere. Because my dad would break all the cups and the bowls and shit. So we'd walk around in socks and shoes in the own house. If we knew if we stepped on something and broke skin with glass, like, oh, dad must have gotten in a fight with a bill collector or something on the phone. All right, let's go sweep it up. Because he had anger problems. Nothing in our house matched because he broke everything. Everything had rips in it. Everybody thought we had a dog that never came out of the room. They have a dog? Like, no, it's my father. Yeah. He just breaks everything. It was fucking great. he broke the my closet door in my room out of anger. One time he used the box, so he just punched it, and it just fell over on the inside of the closet. So we had to like prop it as if it was still fixed, whatever. So just imagine someone punched a door down, knocked it over inside the closet off the hinges, and just propped it as if it was fixed, right? So one day, my friends would come over, and whoever knew my room knew everything was broke because my dad broke everything. So if you didn't know my room, you like try to put your clothes in my closet, your jacket, if you came over, like, all right, cool. So one time, my friend came over, and they tried to open the broke closet door, and I yelled out, no, 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 and it fell on top of him. I was like, yo, man. He goes, what the fuck, man? I'm like, yo, I'm sorry. My father punched the door, and it broke off the hinges. Like, why don't you just fix it? I'm like, you just know how to fix it, man. I'm sorry. So, like, our house is like a booby trap. It was like Home Alone and shit. People get hurt all the time. It was glass. It was broken doors.
Just setting traps.
Yeah, man, it was great.
Ryan, Home Alone six. Sharks.
No, great. Sharks and pit bulls. Yeah, the trap house, man. It was fun.
Okay, so I guess you guys both moved to New York, start doing stand-up. At what point did you guys start doing stuff together?
First time I met him, we did a sketch together.
Yeah, we were doing it. We met on a sketch. That was probably a couple months into me moving here.
College Humor sketch.
Yeah.
We played two African soccer players.
I don't know what the fuck was happening.
Yeah, we
sketch.
Played two African soccer players.
I was still drunk the day before.
Yeah,
I was drinking
like,
all
yeah,
types of Four Locos. Sweating. Just sweating.
Jordan Carlos was in that sketch too.
Yeah. Jordan was in it.
Jordan was in a sketch for College Humor. And
I haven't seen that one.
It's old as shit. Yeah, he played a soccer player who faked his injuries all the time, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
And we played two extras. We played extras because we was before we were even had any notoriety in New York. We were extras in College Humor sketches because that was the only money we could get.
Mm. Do that shit a lot, man.
Yeah.
That used to be great because they pay you in cash. And you sit there and just eat snacks all day.
It's like $150.
I would show up like half asleep, just drunk and just not paying attention. I would miss half the shots. Like I wouldn't even be in half the shots, but it was just
still
like
get paid.
Get that $50, man.
It was great.
Eat some fucking free-ass Nutri-Grain bars.
Yeah, that shit was fun. I missed those days. That was good. You had to do nothing. Just wake up and go to College Humor sketch. And just talk shit. It was great.
Yeah.
I think the first thing we ever did, it wasn't Homo Thugs. It was College Humor before Homo Thugs. It was something else.
It was just like a bunch of College Humor things, and then
Black Genie. No.
I don't know. We had done that like Black History thing. Like,
oh,
three
Black
years
History
ago,
Facts.
Too.
Yeah. The Black History Facts sketch Kevin came up with.
It was stupid. It was just like, we called it Real Black History Facts, but we were just two dudes who would just say shit that was like completely ridiculous. Like, how about like the Tuskegee Airmen invented the atomic bomb and won World War II single-handed? Like, we would just mix up all the facts.
Just bigging up black people. Like, you know. And then we did this, he shot this Black Genie sketch with me, the second episode. He played this white guy's mom. He didn't cut his beard or his mustache or anything. He just had a shawl on or something like that.
Yeah.
And a scarf. He had a scarf on, like the sweater, and he's still buff as shit. And he was just like, not even trying to make his voice sound like a woman. He just sounded like him right now. Yeah. And just, but I don't know.
I poked holes in your condom, man. That's why she's pregnant.
Yeah, it was still like that. That was one of his lines in the sketch. And we did that. And then we did this Homo Thug sketch at Creek in the Cave. He wrote.
We did it live first. That's right.
And it fucking killed. And we were like, yeah, we gotta shoot that live. We gotta shoot that video. Let's shoot a video for it. And we did.
How long ago was that?
This was 2 years ago.
Homo Thugs. Yeah, like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Summer 2012.
Yeah, shot that and all that in the morning in Brooklyn, Bushwick, on a stoop in his apartment building. It put that up and it fucking destroyed.
That sketch was so funny. I just moved to West Village right when that sketch came out.
Oh, right.
There was just like... in my head.
He's not used to that scene.
But yeah, it's like such a funny... To me, it's a New York City like centric thing just because when I lived in Ohio or Orlando, I just didn't see... like these like really hood dudes
sitting on stoops talking shit.
Gay shit. Just mad. Just mad. Like just clearly mad. Gay, but they're just mad about the fact that gay people even exist.
Yeah.
And that was the funniest thing too, because we shot like in the hood. There was one of them we shot like in front of the projects. And people were just mad. It was like, what these niggas doing, man? Just watching
walking
us.
Walking around talking about dick, nigga. Yeah. And we had Marisa?
I don't know how you say it.
Giannis Papas' character. I think it's Marisa. Huh?
That's it.
Yeah, her.
Yeah.
And a sketch. And people stopped him. They were like, yo, nigga, you fucking funny. This is for what, man? Because until they saw him, they were like, oh, this is funny.
Yeah.
But before they were like, what the fuck are these two niggas talking about? And then we shot Homo Thugs as a pilot for Comedy Central, like as in a sketch pilot. Yeah. We shot that as one sketch. And people, we did that in Spanish Harlem. And people were mad. Like people walked by, like, "Thanks for depicting this neighborhood like that, nigga. That you really showing the neighborhood for what it's really like."
Oh yeah, remember that? The one chick thought like Rel was actually robbing the store.
Oh yeah,
and what
yeah.
was she saying? She thought
let him go.
She was just walking in front of they got that nigga. They got that nigga. She just didn't even care.
Oh, there was one dude who yelled out, "Let him go." Yeah, there was one dude who yelled that out. I'm like, what? People are weird. So we made a whole crowd. And for that sketch, it was fun. And then after that, we just started writing pilots together. And
yeah, we just happened to work together on a bunch of different things, just like randomly.
Same reps too. That helps out. I don't know. He's a funny dude.
Do you guys like to write or perform more? I feel like some people. I guess they go hand in hand, but with the sketch. Yeah. I feel like sketch writing is such a different thing.
I go back and forth, man. Like, there was a time where I was like, I didn't like shooting, like acting, because you gotta stand all day. My knees hurt, man. My ankles all torn up. Just standing for hours. I like the writing because it's just like you be in a room and you can just make shit funny. The writing is fun. And all the stuff I've worked on so far has been dope because I've been working on it just with like friends and shit, which is cool. And, I was talking with Ryan earlier about that too. It's like I like stand up and all that, but it's cool to be able to. Sometimes you get too busy with the writing and stuff that I can't do it at night, at least in the way that I would want to do it to progress. And it's kind of like, it was kind of nice to have like a schedule as opposed to just to always stand up all the time.
Yeah.
Even though it's probably more fun to just be doing stand up, but I kind of like
it. But then to come to rely, well, we were talking to rely on it as your main income or your only income.
It's tough, man.
Lot of shitty gigs that aren't fun, and
it's tough. A lot of the dudes who I know, it's just like the guys just do all they want to do is stand up, like just stand up, nothing else. It's like it's hard because it's hard to, no one's gonna want to book you if you're just like a dude, you know. And then a lot of those dudes
just like a dude.
You're just a dude. A lot of those dudes struggle, man. And it's just like, why not try to get good at writing and acting? It'll help. It only help your stand up. Like, at least as far as, like, booking-wise and stuff. And it's just a different way. It's another fun way of doing comedy. It's all the same.
I got into stand-up so I can act more. Because there's no real acting gigs in Maryland. So I was like, I just try stand-up just to catapult into acting. I moved to New York, and Bill Burr... Actually, before I moved, Bill Burr was one who was, like... He did a show at the Improv... DC Improv, and all the comics are just like trying to get advice from him. And he was like, "Well, you moved to New York. You can't just do stand up anymore. You gotta act. You gotta write. You gotta have a blog. You gotta do all this shit. You gotta do stand up. Just can't do stand up anymore. Not these days." Which people agree with. Some people didn't agree with, but whatever. So I took that to heed and moved to New York. And because I always wrote, I always liked writing, and I decided, like, you know, to try all three of them out, and I like all three. I like writing. Lately, I've been writing a shitload. I love writing a lot, and stand up. I like that more because I get more power over it. Mm-hmm. No one can tell me anything without, you know what I mean. No one can say you can't say that on stage or something. I like acting because I just like screaming. You know what I mean? That's just my shit.
Good screaming.
Thanks, man. It's just because, like, I don't know, stand up. You gotta have a setup for when you scream. You just can't be screaming on stage, but like when you act, you can just fucking scream. That's my character, nigga. You don't like it? Whatever. That's what I'm bringing to this character. So all those three things kind of complement what I like to do. So I like all three. They're fucking fun.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like besides like just that dude who sucked, who came to my school that I started with. Like the main reason really why I was starting like during that time, because I thought that if you wanted to act, like, you had to do stand-up. I didn't know you can just go and act. So that's really why I tried to do it. I just did stand-up because I thought that's how you act. But then I just did it for the longest time and just kind of forgot about acting. Never took an acting class. Didn't do sketches, whatever. I was just doing stand-up. And I got here, and I was like, oh, shit, wait. Because then, like, when I got a manager or whatever, they were like, yo, send us a writing packet or whatever. And I would send them shit, and it was terrible because I had never written the script before. But then I just, like, worked on it, like, a lot. And it's starting to get better. So it was dope. But at first, it was just like, it literally was like, I watched Chappelle's show and like Living Color and all that. I'm like, all those dudes were stand ups. So you just do stand up. And then all of a sudden, people put you in things. But it's not really like that. You got to be decent at acting.
There was so much stuff that hit the cutting room floor. I guess that was season three when you guys did the teen dad sketch.
That was so fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
You guys would just sit on the couch forever. And the sketch was like so short, but it was so fucking funny.
Yeah, I was like, man, I mean, that was a good idea too. I was like, whoever came up with that was fucking great. Yeah, that was a fun little one. I just love sketches, man.
Yeah.
Cause if I had to do anything, I prefer doing like a sketch show. Cause you don't have to. Sitcoms, you gotta keep that character for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people go crazy off of it. I don't know. I just rather do sketches because you can go back, revisit a character. You don't have to stick with the character for the whole season or whatever.
Yeah.
So sketches are just dope.
So what do you guys have right now? I don't know if you already covered this. Like the Comedy Central, like you shot
a
pilot
last year.
Yeah.
And it didn't get picked up. But we can't really talk about it, but like we did shoot a pilot last week.
Oh, okay.
Can't say for who or what.
Yeah, we can't really talk about it.
Cool, what's it called? I'm just kidding. What's the concept?
Yeah, we actually don't even have
Fade
a name.
In. Now what?
we don't have a name because we're still coming up with one, but it's just funny. It's way funnier than the Comedy Central pilot we shot.
It's fun. We were just like, we're more relaxed. We just had a lot of fun on it.
Yeah, less nervous, I guess.
But it's all the guys in that group, we've all like worked together on a bunch of other stuff. Like we did like the Lucas Bros got a cartoon on Fox now.
Yeah.
And we both did voices in it. He plays
Eddie Murphy.
He plays Eddie Murphy in the episode. They travel back in time and fuck up him getting the Vampire in Brooklyn premiere.
That's funny.
And then I play DeVoe from Belle Biv DeVoe. I wrote on that one too, and that show I think came out really funny.
It's been doing good apparently.
Yeah, it's been doing good. Fox already ordered another 6 more episodes of that.
I didn't know it premiered already. I saw New York Times wrote it up.
Yeah.
I need
it came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's been doing good. I like this guy's Fox ADHD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good idea.
I wish you want to do more cartoons. Cartoons are the shit. The world needs more cartoons.
It was cool as shit, man. It was like, and like Danny Brown was in that episode. I'm like, Danny Brown's like one of my favorite my favorite rappers. I'm like, oh, shit.
I haven't seen that.
In a cartoon or though. It's dope.
He's got a good voice, too.
Yeah,
what was
he
that?
He was hilarious in it.
Yeah,
man.
He's good.
What was that writing experience like? Because that's more of a linear story, and you've written on a bunch. Yeah. You've written on like Guy Code and philosophy and stuff. Was the like
you
a different
on philosophy?
No, I didn't write on philosophy.
Oh, sorry.
But it was cool. Like it was more like we did 3 weeks before. Like the bros actually went and like scripted everything, but we had to do. The guy who was running the room was dope. This dude Nick Weidenfeld used to be like one of the heads of Adult Swim. Now he's doing that, and he would just like draw a circle and be like, "Beat here, beat here, beat here, beat here. This is what we need for turns." And so we would just figure out, like, "All right, this is what the basic story is, and then we're gonna get a turn here, a turn here, a turn there." And it's just like we kind of just modeled it after a couple of the popular Adult Swim shows, and like the way they would progress things. Like it'd start out with a normal, small thing, and just spiral. Like you know that episode that premiered last Saturday or the Saturday before with Danny Brown shit. It was like it was a hot summer day, and it was like hot as shit, and like, oh, what we're going to do? Let's buy this air conditioner. They get an air conditioner. They put it in, but it's like some stupid, crazy, magical air conditioner, and it gets way too cold, and it freezes the entire building into a tundra thing, and then Danny Brown is just their guide, and he's named Jumanji for some reason. It just like just gets crazy, and it's just like it was real fun to do, and the writing room was dope. Like all the rooms I've done so far have been friends, so it was like a bunch of it was me, the bros, Gerard Carmichael, Beck Bennett, Nick Rutherford, and I think that was it. And then there's the guys, the ADHD guys. But it's a good room.
Here's what I haven't asked for. What's the guy code to a writer's room?
Guy code to writer's room?
I know my guy code for it.
What is it?
Don't be afraid to let other people talk.
Yeah.
I think it's really, it can become a competition, but I think, and I guess it depends on the room, but you know, there's so many good people in the room. I think if you start to compete to be heard, a lot of stuff will get lost.
Yeah.
Based on the guy code writer rooms anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say like, yeah, that and just listen and be open to stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and learn. Like, I feel like just being in those rooms, I've like learned a lot, like a ton just from those things. Just like just listening, you know, and don't be afraid to pitch something crazy, you know?
Yeah, that's true, too. So it is intimidating sometimes.
Yeah, you got to get in there.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for some fan questions?
Let's do it.
All right. Okay. We have this
one comes from Brandon Jaquire. Where did Kevin and Jermaine's Twitter bromance start?
I saw that one yesterday.
I mean, yeah, I guess we already kind of talked about that.
Started in the bedroom.
Well, I don't know. We don't. We. Is there a bromance?
I don't really think so.
And on Twitter, there's not really a bromance there. We don't really talk on Twitter, really. We
attack each other a lot. Well, he made a Twitter account for my mom.
Yeah. That's it.
He just tweeted shit about how sexy my friends are as my mom.
Yeah. That's a fun Twitter, man. I love that Twitter a lot. Fucking... It's not really a bromance. We honestly don't really talk on Twitter. Usually it's on Facebook, and I just deleted mine.
Yeah.
So that dude's stupid.
Yeah, man, you dumb as fuck.
Yeah, get that shit together, Brandon Jaquire.
Yeah.
You're stupid. All right. this is from at Molly Chitja. Chitja? I can't. Have you ever hooked up with a girl that has pussy odor, and then what do you do?
Oh, yeah. That happened to me when I was in high school. We pulled her pantaloons down and took a whiff and told her, hey, let's go back into school. And because it's late, we were going to get in trouble. And it worked. Yeah. So she cock blocked herself. That's her fault. She took a shower. So if you ever get into trouble with a smelly vagina, think quick, man, because the fumes are going to, you know, blur your mind up. So, you know.
It's bad, man. It's just like, how do you let that happen? It's happened before.
And oh, it has, like, happened to Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
Stanky Jones.
It's really just really bad. And it's like, at that point, it's like, well, okay, I'm already here. So it's going to happen. But it's like, I'm going to tell all my friends about it. Like, chicks need to know that. Like, if your junk smells horrible, every dude you know is going to know. It's like, it's just, so you how do you let that happen?
That's gross.
Get a nickname for that.
All right, let's find out. This is from Thando Azul Taylor. Is it a good thing to post your relationship status on Facebook?
Nah, man, fuck that.
I mean, if you don't want to get in trouble, yeah, I say post it. You mean like if it's a serious relationship or like if you know people aren't up in your business, don't post it. Because like, why would you do that in the first place? I don't know. Yeah,
I leave it blank, man. I don't have it as single. I don't have it as anything because it's like, you know, what if you don't, you know, you're talking to a chick and she thinks it's something but you don't, or vice versa, and you have no, you're kind of in a weird gray area, and all of a sudden you got to put that up and everyone's going to write some bullshit like, oh, y'all so cute together, congrats, and all this. You don't want to hear that nonsense. So I just leave it nothing. So
even if you're in like a long, what if you're in a relationship for a couple of years? Still no?
Just leave it blank.
Well, you got to realize Facebook was invented by a creep. So the only reason there is that option is because some dude wanted to troll. Oh, the woman.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I don't want to accommodate that motherfucker. So.
And then it's like also if you have it as in a relationship with your chick and then all of a sudden y'all break up and then she takes that off. Now all these dudes who barely know her just immediately it's blood in the water. Just sharks like just come in as soon as it's over. So leave it vague.
I always like to like that like news feed. It's like so-and-so broke up. Like.
It's now single.
I never understood why girls, I saw it a couple years ago more so, but girls would like be married to their best girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a great way to tell if a girl's jaded.
That's funny.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Do you have anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Nah.
Oh, yeah, what's going on, man?
Nah, fuck you.
Very uninventive.
Follow Jermaine at Jermaine Fowler. Follow Kevin at Fatboy Barnett.
Yep.
Ryan _Ling.
Yes, sir.
At the Ryan McKee. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks. Cool.
Thanks.